Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of John. We are studying John's Gospel, and we're in chapter 12. If you look back at the start of chapter 11, it says, "Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick." Now in chapter 12, we're going to get that story in greater detail. But it's clear that John is writing to people who already knew a bit of this story. It was a famous story, just as Jesus said that it would be. Wherever the gospel goes, this story is going to be told. Jesus said that. And so lo and behold, that's exactly what we're doing today. John chapter 12, this is God's word. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Then a large crowd of the Jews learned he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Meanwhile, the crowd, which had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify. This is also why the crowd met him, because they heard he had done this sign. Then the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested of him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, I tell you, Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus responded, this voice came not for me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate what kind of death he was about to die. Then the crowd replied to him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus answered, the light will be with you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness doesn't overtake you. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of light. Jesus said this, then went away and hid from them. Even though he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, who said, Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This is why they were unable to believe. Because Isaiah also said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes or understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many did believe in him, even among the rulers. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be banned from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Jesus cried out, the one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
It was 6 days before the Passover. The Passover had been instituted by God back when the Jews were in Egypt as slaves. God told them, "You're to do this." And as they obeyed, they experienced deliverance from bondage. But it was pointing to what was about to happen. The Passover celebration instituted by God was a picture of the salvation that God would bring for all people who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so they didn't know what was about to happen. Jesus had repeatedly told them that he was going to be crucified and rise again, but they just weren't getting it. It was way outside of their expectation. So even when he explicitly told them, they didn't get it. They wouldn't accept it. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew what was about to happen. And knowing what was about to happen, he was going to die at Passover. He would be the fulfillment of the Passover, the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Knowing that, Jesus is at dinner at a friend's house. And they're having a celebration. It's a happy time because Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And so Lazarus is there at table. You talk about a neat dinner party. I mean, this is just hard for us to wrap our minds around because we grew up hearing these stories, most of us. And so we don't get the fact that it's a dinner party celebrating the fact that Jesus, the famous healer, is in town and a guy he recently raised from the dead is hosting the party, okay? I mean, that's just amazing, isn't it? But more amazing to me is the fact that Jesus is about to die and he's having dinner with his friends. And they don't get it, even though he told them. They're just not buying it. So the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus is a party scene. And Mary does something that is famous forever. She took a year's worth of wages and spent the whole thing on one grand gesture to express her love for Jesus. It's not something that you could use and then recapture. She poured this out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What would be your assessment of such worship? How would that strike you? If you found out that the church was going to spend a whole year's wages on one service, well, I think that's a little extravagant. Judas thought so. He said, this could have been sold instead of spent, and we could have given the money to the poor. But he didn't say that because he loved the poor. He said it because he didn't love Jesus. He said it because he was the treasurer, and he used to embezzle money from the treasury. Now, I don't want to get stuck at this point, but I do want you to realize that God often lets people get away with stuff for a long time, and we might say that's not good management. Do you ever feel like God behaves as if he doesn't know about some of the bad stuff going on? You ever feel that way? I do. I mean, I look at things happening and I'm like, God, did you see that? Of course he did. God's patience is absolutely amazing. It won't be long before Judas is dead. But he has something to do first, and that's to betray his Lord. Sad. Sad story. Judas complained, and Jesus responded, "Leave her alone." Be careful about criticizing other people's expression of love for Jesus. Be careful about criticizing someone else's extravagance, someone else's stewardship. Should you take a good prayerful look at your own? Yes. But if you think somebody else is getting a little over the top, you know, I mean, it's good to love God, but you don't want to act crazy. Maybe you're the one acting crazy. So, Jesus says, leave her alone. She's kept it for the day of my burial. See, Jesus knows he's about to die. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Then a large crowd comes, and the chief priests just get angrier because they say, see, everybody's going after him. And then there's a parade, the triumphal entry. We know the story. John gives a compressed account, but he says a couple of things that we better take note of, and that is the unbelief of the people was exactly what God said was going to happen. And it says this happened to fulfill what God had said. Why? Because as Jesus says, he's about to die. He's about to die. Now my soul is troubled, verse 27. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I tell you the truth, back in verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The one who wants to save his life will lose it. But the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus is not only telling us what is about to happen to him, he's telling us what's going to happen to us if we follow him. Jesus says, if you're trying to protect yourself, if you're trying to make sure nothing bad happens to you, you're going to waste your life. Think back to what Mary did with this precious nard. She poured it all out. She didn't say, you know, I'm going to use some of that on Jesus. She gave it all. That's what we're supposed to do with our lives. Give it all to Jesus. Don't try to save your life. Don't hold back for fear of what could happen if you really surrender everything. What are you afraid of? This life is so short. Yield everything to him, because that's where the harvest comes from. Now, when Jesus said, Father, glorify your name, the Father responded. And I love this because This is one of those little miracles that slipped into the scriptures here and there that normally doesn't get a lot of attention. Most of the people who were there didn't even catch what was happening. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus responded, "This voice came not for me, but for you." What's happening? Once again, the people for whom it is offered do not receive it, don't understand it. Back at the beginning of John's gospel, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as believed in him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. It's still the same today. The gospel goes forth, and people look at us like we're nuts. So what's happening here? Jesus has worked all kinds of miracles among them, and still they do not believe. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory, verse 42, and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many did believe in him, even among the rulers, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him so that they would not be banned from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. So Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me doesn't just believe in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I've come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness." If you really believe, it has to transform the way you live. You can't just believe intellectually. The demons believe intellectually. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judge. The words I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Let me ask you a question. Do you recognize that judgment is coming? Because it is. And God's word doesn't change. We're living in an age when tons of people are making a choice to follow their own appetites and disregard what God says in his word. If the Bible says that, then the Bible's wrong. I know what I want to do. I know what I believe. And they go with their own passions and desires, or with the opinion of others, with popularity, praise from men. God's word doesn't change. And we're all going to be measured by that standard. But thank God there is good news in the words of Jesus. God's word doesn't just convict us of our sin. It shows us the way to life. Jesus came to save the world. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. If you are still clinging to the hope that, well, if I do this and I do it well enough and I try hard enough and I believe the right doctrinal things, then I'll be saved. No, if you trust in Jesus, you'll be saved. If your trust is in him, he saves. But if your trust is in what you do, you're still lost. You're still stumbling in the darkness. Our only hope is Jesus. No one will be saved by what we do. We are saved by what God has done in Christ Jesus. Where is your faith this morning? Where is your trust? Where is your hope? plead with you. Trust in Jesus. If you've never asked him to save you, ask him to save you. And then give him everything.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.